Ha ha ha. It's 6:06. The 24th of September, it's the day you've been waiting for. Kiki is coming on at 7, and I called up Walt Rubel, and I said, Walt, you want a slice of this? And he said, you better believe it. So we got Kiki coming on at 7 to go after some of these rumors that have been circulating out around. And Walt is going to be there to throw his 2 cents worth in, or 10 cents worth, whatever it's worth, $2. $17 trillion, whatever. And should be good radio. The power struggle between Billy Golden Earring Garrett and his personal fiefdom called the Dona Ana County Commission. It's his personal vision. It's just like Obama. Billy Garrett has a vision for this valley. It includes peace, prosperity. Well, it includes peace, poverty, and no global warming. Then hopefully we'll get some other visionaries out there. I called Ben Rawson, but he was, I think, predisposed. Anyway, we got enough on our plate today. The Pope appears to be telling the president, flee the temptation of narcissism. If you've ever studied psychological disorders, I think you will very quickly come to the conclusion that the president of the United States is a narcissist. And which I only point out because it seems so obvious that he cannot stand to be criticized. He never wants to do anything through a critical process. He doesn't like to go through Congress, through the Senate or the House. It's like he has a view of himself as so pristine, he cannot be touched by anybody. He's so enchanted or infatuated with him, with his image or his who he sees himself as. But in any event, if you want to do an interesting study, go online, Google personality disorders, narcissism. Persons who's a narcissist will not stand to be criticized. And I think that our president is in that group of people. What other groups he's in, I've stated I don't think he's a Christian from what I can tell. Other people believe he's in the Muslim camp. By the way, Ben Carson said his numbers are skyrocketing, or his contributions are skyrocketing since he made his statements about Islam, which I think we're getting to the point. And I saw a good article by Frank Rich of the New York Times, or maybe he used to be part of the New York Times, I think, saying that Trump is saving the country, which was kind of my take on it in terms of what he was talking about. I mean, I don't claim to have any insight into what type of a president Trump would be if he got elected, but my impression is that just by talking about what he's talking about and kind of like just striding past all of the fear, the cowardice political class, taking on huge topic after topic, he's kind of breaking, you know, this term iconoclast. They used to use it for these people who would go into churches and smash the idols, you know, the icons. He's a guy that's destroying icons, political icons, and now we're able to talk about stuff. But in doing that, he exposed a lot of cowardice and a lot of the fake patriotism of these people. Now Jeb Bush is down in sixth place. Jeb Bush defending his wife really made him look like a sissy, in my opinion. Although I'm sure Jeb Bush would be an okay president, but he would be along these lines of, I don't know what it is. Do you have any idea what it is? 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. What is it that drives these people that want to burrow into the, basically into this, these cliches and these very dysfunctional ways of doing things? They seem to actually like the people on the right some of these politicians seem to have embraced the PC vision as much as anybody on the left, completely oblivious to the fact that the PC movement is destroying America. Why? It's destroying the right to have free speech. It's destroying the right to have a free opinion. And it's basically telling us at a very deep level that if you hold views that are outside of the PC canon, I guess you could call it that, then you're a bad person. So it's really mind control through the media, through the school systems, through the political class. And I think Trump, for whatever else that he falls short on, he is going after this stuff. And we all owe a huge thanks to him, regardless of what happens. But it there's another cycle of this where the media is building up Carly Fiorino. I don't see, I mean, I think Carly Fiorino is a talented person. But I don't see anything special about her or anything better than her than Trump, other than she's not a politician and that she is, you know, she's very good on her feet in a debate. But the guy that wrote the article about her, how she destroyed Hewlett-Packard, he's not backing down one bit. And I take that seriously. The bankruptcies of Trump, you want to ask about that? I think that was all in Atlantic City. Now, whether or not he did the right thing on those, I'm sure that he did the right thing for his investors. But at the same time, he's not, I don't think he's on the level of, I think Fiorino made a mistake, like all people make the mistake of attacking Donald Trump. She made a mistake because now he's brought it out and this article is floating around out there. I've got a copy of it somewhere. But, and I'm just, I'll have to find it on the break, but the idea that she's known for one thing, which is Hewlett-Packard, and she destroyed the company is not a good narrative for her. And she took a huge risk. I do not think she's going to be president, and I don't think she's going to continue. She's at the end of the line. She's going to be high in the polls. That's just my impression. I think she's a weak candidate. Although I don't claim to have a, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I thought it was pretty hilarious that Trump said 5 minutes of listening to her and you have a headache, which there's so many things that he says that are basically so true. There's like some essence of truth in them that you can't get out of your mind, that Jeb needs to be more. You could see how this race was going to play out if Trump hadn't shown up. All these people would have taken their little postures and everything, and then they would have fought back and forth. But Walker's gone. I suspect that Rand Paul is going to drop out at some point here. Perry is out. So these people Perry was leading at one point in the last cycle. Walker was leading at some point in this cycle. So, I mean, you know, it is kind of an exciting, kind of an exciting thing to watch. All right, so I'm going to take a little break here. I'm going to look into the weather a little bit. I think that those storms are past, but there was an incredible amount of wet water in some places in Arizona near Tucson, northeast of Tucson. They got 5 inches, and then there were other amounts around, but I think we're okay for now. They say that, I was looking at what the temperatures are going to be like over the winter. So anyway, 6:15 Kelly O'Connell Show. We got Kiki coming on, and Walt said he's going to try to make it here. Kiki's going to come on. Speaking of iconoclasm, Kiki and his investigators are trying to turn over this town and get a little accountability out there. It is 616-523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces, on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. And 805-6180 is your text line. And we're going to be back and dig in. Let me get into a little bit of weather and then the Pope, okay? Prediction on the possible warm September record. Of course, it's global warming, so now I've got to reboot this stupid clip here. But I don't. All right, let me reboot this thing. It's supposed to be a warm September. It's 69 degrees right now, but that's kind of a. I told you guys the story of the Mormon polygamist that ended up drowning, and I was trying to figure out how it happened because, you know, this Colorado city is up in the mountains, you know, and it's up, you know, it's got, there's a little plain up there, and then there's hills, there's mountains above it. And I think what happened is.
So here's a look at the fall warmth, and because the jet stream.
Pardon me, but they had gone down to watch it. And the water came up so quickly. And they talk about the danger of the flooding, and that's exactly the same here too, is when these floods come, they're just out of nowhere, and the water is rising so fast. All right, here I can cue up this little clip from the Weather Channel.
Look at the fall warmth, and it's because the jet stream is way far to the north. The one exception is the southeast with an upper level low, and that means you have cold air that's sinking. But if you take yourself out from that, it's nothing but heat. I mean, from the west to the midwest to the northeast, it's been hotter in Montana and LA than it has been in Miami. Today, we're going to be 5-10 degrees above average in the northeast, but that changes. We head back down towards average as we head over the next couple of days. So yeah, a few ticks above, especially near the lakes. Look at Detroit, still above average at 79. So it's going to be close. But again, the trend is down towards the cooler air.
So possibly warmer October there. And the Pope has enfranchised, has put in the Hall of Fame, Junipero Serra. And said that Junipero Serra is a saint. Now, this has outraged Native Americans. Apparently, Junipero was not politically correct. All right, got a little clip on this puppy right here.
U.S. already making waves on divisive issues plaguing the country and the world. This morning, President Obama escorted the Pope onto the South Lawn of the White House. The ceremony had all the fanfare you would expect for the spiritual leader of more than a billion Catholics worldwide. Pope Francis addressed the 11,000 guests in English, quick to get political with quiet but firm comments on climate change.
I find it encouraging that you are proposing an initiative for reducing air pollution. Accepting the urgency, it seems clear to me also that climate change is a problem we can no longer be left to a future generation.
Well, Obama's sitting there like a kid on Santa's lap with a big smile on his face. I'm sorry, but I have to declare this Pope a failure. To get up and misuse his spiritual position to politic and get involved in these kind of like very trendy controversies, it just seems to me so ridiculous. I mean, he's got a spiritual job to do, and he's out basically up to his neck in politics every day.
Well, from the White House, the Pope made his way to St. Matthew's Cathedral to lead a prayer with U.S. bishops, then to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, where he held Mass and the first canonization on U.S. soil. But this canonization is controversial. RT's Manuel Ruffalo has the story.
It's been a day of prayers and parades in Washington, D.C., as Pope Francis has officially kicked off his U.S. tour. Now, here in Washington earlier today, President Obama joined the Holy Pontiff for a special welcome ceremony at the White House South Lawn, where the Pope gave speech and met with President Obama as well as other dignitaries. Now, what's going on behind me, as you can see, this is a special canonization ceremony. Thousands of people here listening to Pope Francis speak and grant sainthood to a controversial new saint, Junipero Serra. Now, Native Americans, especially those out west here in the United States, are saying that Junipero Serra should not be granted sainthood because he was more of a sinner than a saint, saying that this is due to the fact that Junipero Serra, who's originally from Mallorca, Spain, was part of a military mission, a Spanish military mission to Northern California to spread the gospel to Native Americans. And what Native American groups today are saying is that the legacy of Junipero Serra is one of the creation of an institutionalized ill treatment of Native Americans. There were instances of lashes and beatings of Native Americans, and that lasting the lasting effects of that can still be felt to this day. Now, earlier today, I did get a chance to speak with Dan Beeman, Father Dan Beeman. I asked him what he thinks about this controversy and people saying that Junipero Serra should not be granted sainthood. Let's take a listen to that.
Some Native Americans question whether or not he was more aggressive in bringing Catholicism and bringing Christianity to America at the time that they were here. And so some question whether perhaps it was more forceful of our Christian faith. But those who really came into the Christian faith realized that in many ways they were treated better than Native Americans anywhere else in the country. Blessed Junipero Serra treated them with great love. He considered himself to be a father to the peoples that he interacted with, that he taught, that he housed, that he provided health care and other needs for. So many Native Americans also realized that they had a generous, loving father to provide for their needs.
Now, Pope Francis is a popular guy, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's very outspoken on a lot of issues dealing with the Catholic Church.
I just want to tell you, he's in a Jeep right now with a glass canopy. I think this is his first good move since he's been here.
In the Vatican, there's also him being outspoken about global political issues. We know that he's said in the past already asking to stop the discrimination of people, of individuals based on their social, sexual orientation. He's made changes to Catholic dogma when it comes to marriage annulments. And then there's also that larger issue, that of climate change. Now, here in Washington, Pope Francis is going to be addressing members of Congress tomorrow. And he's already spoken out, calling for political leaders here in Washington and across the United States to not make the issue of climate change one that we should be handing over to future generations. Now, a lot of excitement here in Washington that's sure to bleed into the other cities that the Pope is going to be visiting, New York, Philadelphia, and that excitement, I'm sure, is going to continue here in the days ahead as he visits those cities.
All right, so the Pope is doing his thing, but do you agree with me? 523-1450. Call up 523-1450 if you disagree, if you think I'm being unduly harsh or unfair to the Pope. I think that his involvement in the global warming controversy is a disgrace. He wasted an encyclical on this. I don't know what it is with these political figures that get involved in this stuff. There is a mountain of evidence to say that the science is wrong. They just came out just maybe a week ago with another report that they're falsifying even more of the history and the current records of the climate. So to prove that we're getting cooked, and I think it's just absolutely, I mean, it would be one thing if we were truly in the middle of a crisis. But show me the city where the water is rising. Show me the area other than what, the president flew to his own personal glacier to show how it's gone back 100 yards or whatever in the last couple of decades. There's more ice on the solar and on the polar caps than there has ever been on record. Scientists tell us that it's haven't had any global warming in 20 years, and the Pope is up getting in the middle of this like there could not be a controversy. acts like it's whooping cough. All right, so we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Takashi.
Takashi, am I being unfair to this Pope?
Sort of. I mean, kind of, sort of, because it's not like anybody has any direct evidence that he's wrong or everybody else that says climate change is an issue.
Takashi, I was just giving you some information. There is information out there that the Pope is apparently totally ignoring, that we're not in the middle of a giant crisis.
The information just sounds like opposition, because I believe I told you this before. There's an island in the South Asian Pacific Ocean, South Asian Pacific, that the water level is rising so fast, its government is looking for land to buy all the people.
All right, but let me just ask you this. You know, you're a fairly well-educated guy. Is there any other cause for an island to take on water, so to speak?
Well, they said the water level is rising up to an inch. It has risen up to an inch in the last 2 years on that island. So I'm not quite sure.
So
exactly
you're not going to answer my question. The answer is, of course, it is. We've seen islands rise. There's these volcanic islands or islands that appear after earthquakes. We've seen islands disappear under the water, and we know it's not related to global warming, but you're saying because this island is taking on an inch of water, that proves global warming. Will you at least admit to me that there's a controversy on the topic?
About the same topic. There's a waterfall in Jamaica where I'm from, and it's been that way since I was a kid. My mom, it's been that way since she was a kid. Now, this waterfall dried up in our time. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what the contributing factors to it is, but these are the different things that's happening all over the planet, you know, and it might be a telltale sign is all I'm saying.
Will you at least admit there's a controversy you're on the global warming side, you can hold up this evidence, but if you're opposed to it, there's other evidence. Will you at least admit there's a controversy? Because apparently the president and the Pope are not aware of it. What's that?
No, I said we could both agree that there's always a hidden agenda behind that issue, whether the issue is noble or not.
Well, okay. You know? So what is the Pope's agenda here?
I think this is the initiation of the one world government, Kelly.
Holy cow. And you're defending global warming. All right, so you're actually a critic of this type of thing.
Yes, in a sense, I am, because, you know, they'll use this issue to enact their new policy, their one world policy. They'll use it as an imminent
an imminent threat. Issue. So do you see devil horns when you look at the Pope?
No, this guy, I don't know if he's the so-called Antichrist that they said is going to unite everybody and everybody's going to fall in love with him, but he seems to be the real deal. I mean, kissing a prisoner's feet is pretty deep in 2015.
Yeah, well, okay, well, thanks for the call. We got to take a break. Thanks, Takashi. I don't know if he cleared anything up there, but anyway, do you sense devil horns from this Pope, or is he just misguided? But you know what? I just want to throw this out there. You know, Obama reminds me of the kid in high school, one of the kids in high school that was super cool and always had to act cool and like walk a certain way. And it was hung out at the smoking table and all this. It's like he's never outgrown that. It's like his claim to fame is being cool. Anyway, 634 Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 to call in. Please call in Joe if you're listening and defend this Pope. Joe's a traditional Catholic, although I think he's had a little criticism for the Pope. Anyway, we'll be back and take this on just a little bit more. It's 6:38. Okay, well, this is what we're going to do. I don't see a lot of interest in the Pope right now. So what I'm going to do is We're going to do a little speedball here, a little bit of a little speed round here. I'm going to bring up some different topics. If you're interested, then call in on them. If not, I'm going to switch gears. But here is, I'm just going to bring up this thing with Hillary, the Democratic polling. And the Democratic polling for Hillary is bad, but understand she's got a crisis that people see as being her creation, and they're not effectively dealing with it. But check this out a little bit. This from Morning Joe.
Well, let's go through this because you touched on two of these points. The FBI has recovered some of Hillary Clinton's emails off her private server, according to Bloomberg Politics. Bloomberg reports the Bureau has recovered personal and work email that had been presumed to be deleted. And Political reports more previously undisclosed State Department emails, about a dozen related to Benghazi, have surfaced in a federal court filing. According to Politico, most of the documents also appear to have been withheld from State Department response to House Select Committee on Benghazi. A State Department spokesman says the department has made every effort to cooperate. And while Clinton has always characterized her participation in turning over email from the server to the State Department as routine, officials are characterizing it a bit differently. According to the Washington Post, citing State Department officials, the request was not about general record keeping, but was spurred entirely from the discovery that Clinton had only used the private server. Yesterday, Clinton was asked to explain the discrepancy to the Des Moines Register.
All I know is that they sent the same letter to everybody. That's my understanding.
So the Post is reporting now that there's some question about whether the server is
deleted. You're telling me something I don't know. All I know is what I have said. And what I have said is it was allowed. The State Department has confirmed that. The same letter went to, as far as I know, my predecessor. And I'm the one who said, hey, I'll be glad to help. And we'll give you additional, information as we get.
Boy, Willie, so much happened yesterday. It's hard really to keep track. Mika just blew through some stories that, we only have 3 hours. But you could untangle a lot of these threads for 3 days, whether it's the State Department finally having enough. And they have been pushed to the wall enough. There are other things that are going to come out, I'm pretty sure, pretty soon, and talk about how her story is just not correct. But this is one of them. Oh, they just sent it to all the Secretary of State. No, it was all about the concern once they discovered she had her own private email server. Congressional subpoenas being ignored. We've been hearing conservatives complain for several months that there was a gap during the time of the Benghazi attacks and the emails produced yesterday, some were unearthed that she didn't produce, that the State Department didn't produce, and other stories. A lot coming out for a campaign that wants to get on to other issues. The headlines just keep going, and this FBI investigation just keeps churning.
Well, on the Washington Post story, you had the State Department now on the record. John Kirby, the spokesman who we have on the show all the time, I think he's on the record. These are not sources talking out of the State Department saying, no, we went after this because of something specific with Hillary Clinton. We wanted to investigate that. On the FBI question, we've always asked, who got to decide which of the emails made it to Congress and which emails were kept and marked as personal by Hillary Clinton? 30,000, she said, were personal. Well, now the FBI has access to those, and they can go through and decide if any of those were work-related, if any of those were classified. So now it's in the hands of the FBI, and we don't have to take Hillary Clinton and the campaign's word for what was in those emails.
Mike, obviously a lot of Clinton supporters feeling defensive right now. We certainly can see it in our emails and our Twitter feed. Anybody reporting on this story can certainly see that as well. But we are all hearing, just like we hear things from the State Department, which come out later. But I certainly am hearing, I'm sure you're hearing, everybody that I talk to is hearing from Democrats, powerful Democrats, a rising concern about Hillary Clinton, about this FBI investigation. And they're looking at Joe Biden. They're looking at Bernie Sanders. They're looking hard at other options.
Rising concern, your phrase, is putting it mildly.
Well, yes, but if I said anything more, they go, well, he's just a Republican saying that. It's near panic for a lot of Democrats who want to win the White House.
There's a huge gap between the reality of what's in these emails, we don't know, and the perception of the emails themselves, which is devouring her candidacy. The perception around the emails is devouring her candidacy. And she can't seem to get ahead of it or get out from it. Again, the emails that are in contest, we don't know. We don't know what's in the emails. But you hear from any number of Democrats. I heard yesterday that Jerry Brown, the governor of California, was considering entering the race because of the email controversy and because of their doubts about the strength of Hillary Clinton's candidacy.
But she's trying to keep it on policy.
Right, but we just don't know what's in the emails. We do know this, though.
Hey,
Mike, her story has been inconsistent.
Kelly, who's this?
It has been long.
Hey, let me put
she
you on hold just a second. I'm almost done, okay?
Times. Sure. And Mike says we don't know what's in all the emails. I think we'll find out. But when I first became a lawyer, I was told, tell the jury everything about your client.
Right.
If you don't let them assume the worst, tell them the worst right up front, and then they'll work with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, they'll always assume the worst. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Maybe they're all about yoga. You never know. We'll see.
All right. So we're talking about a campaign, and that's exactly true. You've got the person who has the bad news has got to be the person who delivers it, not the opposition. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bob. I'd like to comment about the previous subject about the Pope.
Sure.
And climate change.
Absolutely. Bob, go ahead.
All right. First of all, the comment about the Pacific Ocean's rising and drowning oceans, those islands are made out of coral. Coral is a living animal. As the seas have risen over the last 10,000 years, the 400 feet, the coral keeps pace. So there's no dangerous rise in terms of the Pacific Oceans. Also, about the so-called crisis, the death rates from the cold are 17 times what they are from the heat. And you can look at the data from the Centers for Disease Control and the maximum number of deaths
in January and
February.
Bob, I'm running short on time to fit in all my lovely little advertisements. So your point to Takashi is this one piece of proof that this island is sinking has nothing to do with global warming.
The island is not sinking. The islands are growing because they're made out of coral.
So are you aware of this one island that he claims that they're that's risen an inch and they've got to move them?
Yes, I'm certainly aware of that. And that claim is false. There are people who have been and visited those islands.
I've got to go, but I appreciate the call. All right, folks. I know I'm throwing out stuff, but it's just to make the experience better for everybody. If I tell you I have a limited amount of time, don't start a 10-minute comment with 30 seconds. So anyway, I appreciate the call from Bob. I'm always looking at the clock. If I say you've got 1 minute or 30 seconds or 15 seconds, that's literally what you have. And it doesn't seem like people ever look at a clock when I say that. But anyway, here is from the Telegraph. The rise of the sea levels is the greatest lie ever told. I've mentioned this story before, but it bears repeating. It is a total lie. And if that's your proof of global warming and you're the Pope, shame on you. Okay, we'll be 6:47. We will be back. We got Kiki and Walt Rubel coming on. It's going to be one heck of a, I almost said one hell of a show, but it's going to be one heck of a show. At 7. Well, Kelly here, and man, we got a lot going on this morning, and I think that Walt is going to show up. All right, so you heard Bob call up, and Bob was saying that there's no evidence. There's no evidence of this global warming. All right, I've got another clip for you. Obama is only pretending to be a Christian. You're going to like this one.
Man, very deep in your faith. Dr. Ben Carson also very deep in his faith. And he made the comments about a Muslim possibly becoming president. Do you agree with him, or do you think he went too far?
Well, it's not whether I agree or disagree. Here's the point. There is no religious test to hold public office in America. I'm less concerned about what faith a person has I'm more concerned about the authenticity of their faith and how that plays out in their policies.
I'm also
concerned about a guy that believes he's a Christian and pretends to be, and then and says he is, but then makes it very difficult for people to practice their Christian faith. I'm disappointed if a person says, I'm a Christian, but you invite the Pope into your home, and then you invite a whole bunch of people who are at odds with the Catholic Church policy. I think there's something very unseemly about that.
And it would seem that even the Vatican themselves are actually very concerned about whom the president has invited to meet the Pope.
Okay, we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. One of the islands are called the Tuvalu and Pacific Islands. I didn't say the Pacific Ocean.
Well, look, there's no global warming. I used to live in Miami, and there was supposed to be this global warming there. I never saw one.
These new agreements that Obama has given out to the oil companies, the places in the Bering Sea that they couldn't access prior to now.
How about this? There's more ice on the polar caps than there has ever been, and that's a fact. I'll talk to you later. All right, folks. We will be right back. I've got some local performers who are going to be doing a show locally, a couple of comedians, and we're going to come back and talk to them about their show tonight. It's pretty exciting, and then we got Kiki on the next hour, so hang in there.
You are encouraged to get it.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Ralph.
Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Here. Kelly, I called you a while back and asked you if you could give me a dollar and cent figure so I could get you some sponsors.
Oh, okay. Hey,
for another hour.
All right.
Now, can I bring that up?
Ralph, yeah, you can bring it up anytime you want, but let's do this. Give me a number to call you on, and I'll call you when I get off the air.
Okay. Just a second. Let me add. This is...
drum roll, please.
It's 642. No, wait a minute. That's a different number.
The questions are only going to get harder, Ralph.
Okay, 202.
What?
It's 202, 607-8870.
Your number, you're from D.C.?
202 is a Washington, D.C. number, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I just said. All right, I'll call you back. Make sure that you mention a couple of times the name of the show and what time it's playing.
Okay, we have four tickets.
That was Tom, right?
Yeah.
How long? But you got to hit, you got to. It's Kelly here, and I've got a couple of performers here who are going to tell you about a show they're doing at the Fountain Theater. And guys and ladies, your name?
My name's Lauren Brenner.
Lauren Brenner, good Irish name. Then the guy that's texting that's not listening, please talk.
Sorry, I just got to respond to something really fast.
Well, let's not get in the way of your personal text. All right.
The name's Jay Weingarten.
Oh, I turned off his mic.
The name's...
He was not...
Hello, the name's Jay Weingarten. I'm not Irish.
Oh, too bad. You've immediately blown your cooler.
World Series.
Hey, so Ms. Brenner, tell us about this. What's going on there?
So tonight we have two shows, A Laugh at the Fountain, one at 7 p.m. and one at 9 p.m., both at the Fountain Theater. Tickets are $25 and include a complimentary house cocktail from La Posta. Tickets also get you 10% off dinner. And we have comedians in from L.A. We have Jay Weingarten, myself, and Paul Dankey, who's headlining. He'll be flying in this afternoon.
Okay. And what should people expect?
It's comedy. It's stand-up comedy like you would see at any comedy club in L.A., alternative comedy and clock show. And then the 9 o'clock show is billed as the adult show.
Meaning, do people wear
unedited
clothing? Are they wearing clothes?
Oh, clothing's optional.
I can run some quick jokes. This is actually a new one, but I'll try it. Did you hear Donald Trump is running for president? Well, I actually say, sorry, I have to read it because it's really new.
Have you thought about going into show business?
Well, I actually say Donald Trump.
Mr. Weingarten.
Because the elephant in the room is I don't like his policies. You know, and I definitely don't agree with them. They remind me of Taco Bell meat because they're 80% crap. Is that allowed to say that? Crap?
Thank you. Thanks, folks. If you're busting your gut right now, you got to go tonight. So, anyways,
Donald Trump's in the news.
Where is the? Hold on a second, Mister. I'm going to take over the show with a text. What? Where's the Fountain Theater at?
It's in Mesilla, on Calle de Guadalupe, right next to Nambe and La Posta.
All right. So, we've got 4 tickets. I'm going to be giving away, I guess, tomorrow.
Today. It's today. Tonight.
Oh, and tonight's the only show.
There are 2 shows at 7 and 9, but yes, only today.
Okay, and so I got 2. Did you bring them with?
No, I'll chance? Have to bring them back to
okay.
you.
Okay, all right. So, so call into the show. The first 2 callers, I guess, will get 2 tickets each. Is it just kind of like a random thing, or is it kind of? I mean, is it just a bunch of comedians telling jokes, or what?
It's 3 comedians, like a classic comedy show. And I've booked the show, so the comedians are curated. It's not just random. They're coming in right from L.A. and going right back.
They're curated. They just came from the museum. Anyway, well, thanks for coming on. Your names again?
Lauren Brenner.
We're out of time, so it's at the Fountain Theater. It is called?
A Lap Fountain, 7 and 9 p.m. tonight.
7 and 9 p.m.?
Yes.
And the shows are like $25?
Yes.
And then you get dinner and drinks, or you get a discount?
You get a drink. You get a discount on dinner with your ticket. Hour and a half show. It's a lot of fun.
It's just in California's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, released a statement to the press.
He's not the governor anymore, but thank you very much for coming on. Folks, yeah, I mean, I can't wait to get there tonight. I'll be laughing all the way there. Okay. Kelly, we got Kiki coming on and take a little, get a little cup of coffee and come back. It's going to be wild. All right, folks, if you have been following the show recently, you know that there has been some controversy on the show and in the local news cycle. And we were talking about Walt Rubel and I on Tuesday. We're talking about the situation with the sheriff's department and some of the other things. And Kiki called up, Sheriff Kiki Vigil called up and said, I want to come on and talk about this very generously. So, and that was just yesterday at the end of the show. So he is actually here in the studio. And good morning to you, Kiki.
Hey, good morning.
Great to have you in here.
Great to be here, sir.
And Walt said he wanted to be here, and you told me that you didn't mind. So I called him up, and he's here as well. Good morning, Walt.
Morning, Kelly. We are well protected today.
Yes, we got a few sheriffs in here. All right, guys, let's get right to it. I just set the plate here by saying that there was an article, and I don't know to what extent it's true, but there's an article that came out that talked about services that were going to be trimmed back, and Walt had a copy of it with him and was kind of reading off of some of these things, and so. That's out in the news. Do you guys want to start with that, or do you have a general explanation for what's going on, Kiki?
Well, I'll let Major Barlow address that. He's pretty much familiar with that, with the cuts on these calls.
And so, Major Barlow, you would just want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, my name is Brent Barlow. I'm a major with the sheriff's office, obviously, and I'm responsible for basically overall operations. Field operations for the agency.
Okay. Good morning to you.
Morning,
and
sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. All right. So guys, what is the general controversy that's going on right now, as far as you understand it?
Well, my understanding is that I guess really what it comes down to is people probably don't have a really understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. And the reality of it is that the Doniana County Sheriff's Department has been losing 24 deputies a year, traditionally for the past 3 years, every year. And
so we're down 72 deputies.
Over the past 3 years, we've had about a 50% turnover rate within our organization from law enforcement officers. And no one is doing anything about it from the county government side to stem that loss. And so it's just like the analogy I gave the other day is this. If you have a bag of grain to feed a village, well, there's only going to be so much food to go around. And there's no difference when you look at it from a perspective of human resources. And that's, we have a limited amount of human resources. So we have to prioritize, just like any other organization or business, about how they're going to run that business with limited resources. And so we're in a position now, and we have been it for some time. This isn't a surprise to Chairman Garrett or the county commission. We have been saying this for months in open forums that we are significantly short, and that if we do not get or have the ability to retain qualified personnel, that we're going to continue to lose them, and thereby our services are going to have to suffer. I mean, it's just that simple. We don't have enough people to do it.
You told Chairman Garrett to basically to his face in an open forum that you're going, something's got to give. You've got to cut somewhere.
Without question. Without question. I mean, the statements have been made over and over and over again. The sheriff has said it over and over and over again in public meetings in front of the commission that we are extremely short. We have to get this fixed. And this has been going on for months. So this isn't a surprise to anybody. And now here the day is. And now we all want to claim, or at least seems like Commissioner Garrett wants to cry foul on it. So,
okay. Kelly, and then our deputies are being overworked. They're working double shifts. And it comes to a point where they get exhausted and it becomes a liability.
And not only that, but there's a lot of money going out that in an effort maybe to save money, that you're actually paying more money for these shifts.
Yes, overtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at it. I mean, quite honestly, I know a lot of bean counters look at it from a money perspective. For me, I look at it from just a wear down of the human being. If we paid an equitable wage to our deputies to keep them and have enough deputies to work all the shifts, or do we want to pay overtime at time and a half and waste a bunch of taxpayer dollars? That's what it comes down to. And it cost us $46,000 to train a cadet through the academy and FTO. So over the past 3 years, we have literally thrown away $3.3 million in training dollars, losing 72 deputies.
Okay, all right, that's terrible. But let me ask you, how many people are we down from an ideal force now? How many are we short?
Right now we are short about 31 bodies, law enforcement bodies.
All right. Now, can you list, because I know Walt's going to bring this up, can you list the services that have been cut? Are there rumors out there that are untrue?
Yes.
Right. So what services or what functions have been trimmed back?
Well, and I can obviously provide you a copy of our directive that came out August 19th of this year. But the short of it is that we've reprioritized to public safety, more so on public safety and officer safety. So a lot of the calls that we respond to, domestic violence calls, affray calls, traffic stops, believe it or not, I mean, areas where officers have a higher probability of becoming assaulted, we've doubled up, or we want to make sure that we have at least two officers at those calls. And that's a nationwide practice. I mean, you go to the city of Las Cruces, you're going to see 2, 3, 4, 5 units at every call that they go to, just about.
And there is a lot of violence towards cops right now.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a lot more forefront. But yes, I mean, cops are being assaulted. I mean, you turn on the news any day and you'll see cops getting either shot at, killed, or whatnot. So we've obviously prioritized the lower priority types of calls, civil service calls, civil disputes, those types of things. Incorrigible child calls where we have a 8, 9, 10-year-old that's getting out of hand and mom can't handle it. I mean, we have to prioritize to the types of calls where we know there's going to be a higher probability for injury or a public safety issue or a human deputy issue.
All right. I see you moving a little bit, Walt. You want to dig in here?
Well, yeah, a couple things. One, the thing that just jumped out at me as soon as I saw that list was welfare checks on children requested by CYFD. I mean, and like all of these things, it has a caveat that says, except for in cases of public. But I guess my question is, how are you going to know if there's an incident of public unless you go out there and check?
Well, people are reading this wrong. What happens is, this is the crux of it. We'll get a call from CYFD and says, hey, we're going to go over and take a look on a child welfare call. Can you go with us? Well, I'm not going to just send a deputy with a CYFD officer when I've got other calls pending or other higher priority calls.
All right,
pending.
So let me just interpret this a little bit from what my understanding. CYFD, which is a government agency, gets a call. They want a welfare check. They've already got a worker to go out there.
Correct. So
okay.
they'll call us and say, we want a deputy to go with us. I'm like, okay, so do I just send a deputy on the auspices that you think there might be something wrong,
okay,
or do I pull my deputy off a domestic call to go to that call?
Okay, if they say that we think this is, you know, a potentially dangerous situation, would you then send?
Yeah, I mean, if they can articulate, okay. Yes, of course. If they can articulate that there's factual, again, articulable idea that there's going to be danger, not just what we think, but if there's some danger that, yeah, of course. And just like you said, that's what the article says. If we have a belief that there's going to be an imminent threat to somebody, it doesn't matter what call it is, we're going. It's that simple. And the reality is, we're not the only game in town. The New Mexico State Police has officers here. We answer on the average about, as best I can tell, based off their 2013 data and our 2014 data, we answer 7 to 8 times the number of calls for service that they do.
But don't you have a lot more officers in this area than
they do? Per officer, we answer 7 to 8 times the number of calls that they do.
That's incredible.
We have 3,800 square miles to cover.
Well, when you say answer calls, I assume that doesn't mean traffic stops.
No, calls for service.
Which is typically what state police does, traffic stops.
Well, they also have a dispatch center that dispatches them, too, for calls for service. We answered 87,000 calls for service last
year. All right, I want to get that dig down, because you guys told me you have to leave on the half of the hour, something like that.
About 45 minutes, yes.
All right, so we got a little bit of time, but I want to dig down into this. I know Walt's going to be curious about this, too. I want to know what is forcing this, because some people are saying it's just politics, it's just gamesmanship, but I want to know what happened between the county and the sheriff's office that forced this. I want to know specifics.
Well, a few months ago, the GRT, the gross receipts tax, was passed, and it was, when it got passed, it 1/8 of the 3/8 got earmarked for the sheriff's department for salary increases and equipment, and we have yet to see a penny of it. And my understanding, the waters have been muddied.
When you say the waters have been muddied, there's a lot of false information
out
there?
Well, yes. Commissioner Billy Garrett came on and said, well, you know, it's not clear. The initial resolution is not clear. You know, well, it's in black and white. It's in the recordings. So a month and a half later, Commissioner Benavides submitted a resolution to clarify the initial resolution, you know. And, well, they went into closed session, you know, and after they came out, the resolution to clarify the initial resolution was withdrawn. And so that's where we're at. We have yet to see a penny of this one.
And I ask you, when you called on the phone, because I'm still a little confused, were you lied to?
Well, back in, I'd say May, we still had $2.5 million left in our budget. We'd been meeting with the finance director on a weekly basis, with their budget analyst, on a weekly basis. And all of a sudden, I get the word from the finance director that we no longer have money. And I said, no, that can't be right. So we had an emergency meeting. We met with the county manager, Julia Brown, and Mr. Bill Nolan, the finance director. And they basically came on and told us, we no longer have that money. I said, no, just last week we met with your budget analyst, and she told us we still had $2.5 million. And so it was about fuzzy math. It's about sponge funds that Mr. Bill Nolan told us, you know. As a matter of fact, Major, you were there present.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, we were there at the meeting. They said you have $2.4 million in your budget, but it's not there.
Ben, what did you take that to mean? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
That's a good question.
That's what we're trying to
find out. That's what we're trying to figure out.
What happened to that money? We still had $2.5 million left as of May, and the budget year doesn't end until June 30th.
All right. So do you think the average person on the street would, in that experience, draw the conclusion that they had been lied to?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I got a little dedication for you. You don't mind a little Eric Clapton, I Shot the Sheriff, do you?
No, of course not.
They're coming after you pretty hard here. 7:18, we're delighted to have Sheriff Kiki in here, and Walt was kind enough to take another morning and do another sacrifice to come in. So we're great. We're very happy to have him in here as well. We got Eddie Lehrman. We got Major Barlow. We're going to be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 7:18. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text, and folks, we're going to come back and hit it even harder.
I did not shoot the deputy. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy.
Kelly, it's Kathy. I was wondering why the pay is so low for the sheriff's department.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you ask that on the air?
Oh, Kelly, I hate to go on the air. I sent you a text pretty much saying that. But, you know, there's 200,000 people in the county. 100,000 of them live in the city. More than that live out in the county. I don't understand why there's such an unfair split of the money. I mean, there's just as many people out of the county as there is in the city.
Well,
they have a lot more land to cover.
We're coming. You're on the air right now, Kathy. We're coming on.
Okay.
And folks, we've got Kathy on the air, and she wants to know why there's a pay discrepancy that's so huge between the police and the sheriff. Kathy?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's a little over 230,000 people in the county, 100,000 in the city. That means there's more out in the county with more land to cover. You need more deputies. Why are you losing so many deputies every year? Because of the pay.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, that's Kathy's, quite honestly, I wish you'd run for county commissioner, because obviously you have a clear picture of what's going on. At the end of the day, we lose people to other organizations. I mean, the chief of police came out the other day and said he's lost more people to us than we have to him. Factually untrue. And we can show that. I mean, people do not leave the city of Las Cruces and take a $5 or $6 an hour pay cut to more work for the Galena County Sheriff's Department. That does not happen. Our people do leave. I mean, we've lost 10-year seasoned veterans to the Las Cruces Police Department, criminal investigators just recently. And it's going to take the financial cost of that is enormous to the county and the taxpayer. But for me personally, as a law enforcement officer, that experience level that we are now going to lose to provide to the citizens of our county is gone. So simple.
Absolutely. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to have more people out in the county that have paid this gross receipt tax. Now we're going to all be paying it, and to have such a higher scale within the city. I mean, are they trained less? Do you guys go through different training? A police officer is got this basic training, and they all should be pretty much paid the same thing. Why is there such a discrepancy in pay is the only question I really have at this point, is why is that happening? There's no excuse for it.
The answer to that, quite honestly, and I've talked with senior management officials at the Las Cruces Police Department within the past few months, and the city has made a commitment to public safety. It's that simple. And they are not the only ones. You have to go to Carlsbad, go to Lee County, Rio Rancho, Farmington, a lot of these other agencies. I've got a lieutenant right now within my agency that is looking at going to another department, making the same money he's making with our agency, and will be afforded all the overtime he wants to work. It makes no sense. I mean, the sheriff's probably going to reach over and slap me, but I don't know why a person would come to the Galena County Sheriff's Department if they're looking at it from a pay perspective and they want to take care of their family and start working here. I have no clue why they do it.
That's right. And, you know, that's tragic. And that, I am just really outraged at that. And that's pretty much all I have to say. I wish I could change it for you, because I live out in the county. I appreciate the work you guys do out there. And it's a shame that you can't be paid equally.
Please call your county commissioner and put the pressure on them.
All right. So here is a question that comes to mind. Who sets the pay? Whose fault is it? If you had to point a finger, whose fault is it that these hardworking men and women are not getting paid more?
Well, we've already presented the county commissioner and the county manager with the salary increase plan to bring the salaries of our staff up to par with the police department of Las Cruces, and they have yet to take any action.
Why do you think that is, as far as you can tell?
Savings.
We got more money coming in, though.
Yes, and I'm not seeing a penny of it from the 1/8 that they earmarked for the sheriff's department for salary increases and for equipment. I have yet to see that. Now, County Commissioner Chairman Billy Garrett states, well, the money's there, 4.7. No, it's not.
Well, just explain to us what happened. I know we've talked about it before. My understanding is it's what's called supplanting. Money's put on the books and then taken off the books at the same time. Is that really what happened?
Well, I'll tell you that. On the day that this GRT got passed by the county commissioners, right after the meeting, we had the assistant county manager approach Captain Buckingham and basically told him, you're not going to see a dime of it. And Captain Buckingham responded, that's supplanting budget. I said, yes. And I have a memo, you know, on that. I submit that memorandum to the county commissioners, to the county manager, you know. So this is where we're at. We have yet to see a penny of this GRT.
Well, I want to get back to some of these cuts, and I want to ask about this house party that took place on Picacho, and I know that may be an ongoing investigation, and you may be limited on that, but just how these cuts may have affected your response is my only question on that.
Be honest, I don't have all the details on that, yeah. Walt, to be too clearly honest with you. I know that our deputies responded out there. I think it was in regards to a loud party and some drag racing in the area. My understanding is our deputies were on scene before the fight even broke out. So,
well, what we reported is that, and I should say that loud parties is one of the things on the list that,
yes,
that you're
sure.
No longer. And what we reported is that there were as many as 500 kids at this party, that it spilled out all over the neighborhood, as it obviously would with that many people, that, you know, people were calling up saying, I've got drunken kids, you know, puking in my bushes.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, you know, and we got the 911 tapes, and so we know, you know, what calls were made. One guy made the first call, I think, about midnight at about 2 o'clock. He called up, and that was the fourth time he called. He said, I've called you guys four times. Send somebody out here or I'm going to take matters into my own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I mean, I'm just putting one to one together, and maybe I'm coming up with the wrong number, but it seems like that's another example where if you don't go out there and look at it, you're not going to know if it's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, like I said, we were out there before our deputies did respond, and they were out there before the fight broke out. So again, I don't know if there was other calls. I mean, you're asking me a question where I don't have all the facts. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if we had other calls and they didn't get there right away on something like that, then I couldn't explain that. I mean, the reality is we're going to prioritize public safety. Generally speaking, and I can tell you after working this job 20 years, generally speaking, loud parties don't turn into public affrays.
Yeah.
Generally, there are loud parties, you know, people drinking, getting out of hand, music's up, and people complain that they want us to go have turn their music down. That's generally what happens. Like it says in here, if it's a violation of the county noise ordinance, we will respond. Or obviously, if it's brought to our attention that violence is imminent, then we're responding to that.
But people are going to want to know from this coming out two questions, I think. One, is public safety being compromised? You guys, by definition, are going to say no. But are we sure that some of these cuts are not going to?
No, I mean, without question, I mean, I think it's somewhere, yes, public safety is being compromised. I mean, it would be crazy to say otherwise. The idea is that we're reprioritizing what little resources we do have to the most or the highest priority types of calls.
You're minimizing then, according to what you're saying, given your resources, you're minimizing the harm to the public.
That's what we're trying to accomplish.
All right. Number two, a lot of people are wondering, and I think Walt brought it up, is this just a political stunt? What's your response to that?
No, it's not. We're spread out, then. We have 3,800 square miles to cover here in Doña County. When you have deputies at the north end of the county having to respond, it's down south all the way down Chaparral, because that takes quite a bit of time to get down there. It's just about we're just spread out thin.
And any of those people that would say that this is a political stunt, I invite them to come do a ride along with one of my deputies anytime they want and see how much of a political stunt they think it is.
Commissioner Rawson has taken the time to come out and ride along with us, and he's seen what our deputies go through. With the radio system that we have in place, it's embarrassing. They have to do the Statue of Liberty to get a signal on their on their phone. And Commissioner Rawson did come out, and he saw what we go through.
Was he appalled?
Yes, and I invite the other county commissioners to do the same, so they'll know that the sheriff's department is going through. They need to come out.
Yeah, come out, do it right along with my deputies. Let's see firsthand about what. How long it takes for deputies to respond to back up other deputies, the number of calls that we'll get in the middle of the night when they show up at a domestic call, in some cases because they have to because there's nobody else by themselves. Ride with them. Talk to them. See what they have to say about it. Don't take
my word for it. Some of the county commissioners may be allergic to law enforcement.
Apparently.
Well, I can tell you that Commissioner Rawson, Commissioner Garcia, and Commissioner Benavides, they're on board. It's going to take time to get this resolved. But I'll tell you, the other two commissioners, Commissioner Garrett and Wayne Hacker, I believe, they're anti-public enforcement, safety.
They have other
pet projects that they want to attend to.
That's if that's true, then they are helping to compromise public safety.
I believe so.
Folks, we'll take a little break here, and I shot the sheriff, Eric Clapton, in honor of the sheriff, and hopefully you're wearing a little body armor today.
Oh, I got plenty of armor
okay.
All the time.
All right. Anyway, we'll be right back. 7:30, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call. We do have a call we'll take before we go off.
Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who is this?
This is Jerry. I'm my second time calling. It seems like the solution to all this lies with the county commission. And you've got Walt Rubel there in the studio with you. Don't they have an investigative reporter, commission's take on this financing?
Well, certainly we're looking into this. When you say the commission's tape, I'm not sure what you mean. But, yes, absolutely. We have done a great deal of reporting on this situation, and we will continue to.
Well, it seems like that's the solution. You got to find out the other people's side to the story and advertise it.
Okay.
You agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other side of the story, too. Oh, well, I mean, Billy Garrett is welcome to come on. Wayne
that's
Hancock,
right.
I know he's ready to retire and go back to Florida where he was before he got into office here. Any of the county commissioners are welcome to come on and tell their story. Bill Noland, downtown Julia Brown. I'll even put out, I know that apparently that well, there's some chaos over in the county clerk's office. Any of these people are welcome to come on, though, and tell their side of the story. Thanks a lot, Jerry. Folks, be right back.
All around in my hometown, they're trying to track me down. They say they want to bring me a gift for the killing of the dead.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Good morning. I just have a comment.
Yeah. Well, can I? What's your comment? You're not on the air.
Okay, I can call back.
No. Wait. I'll put you on hold.
Okay, put me on hold.
What's your first name?
My name's Mia.
Mia, and what's the general? So I can introduce your topic. What's your general point?
Well, I think it's not kicking and screaming when it comes to the sheriff, as Walt Rubel put it on Tuesday, as far as political. I believe it's really on the other side that they're the ones bullying the sheriff's department.
Okay, Mia, I'll put you on hold and we'll bring you on in about 1 minute, okay?
Okay, thank you.
By definition, right? Got 5 seconds. Close that door.
And AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
Kelly back here, and we do have a caller, and the caller's Mia, and Mia is calling up to say, hey, don't put it on the sheriff. The sheriff's department is getting pressurized and manipulated by the other side. Is that right, Mia?
Absolutely. I think they're getting bullied, and I think they're very hypocritical where they say that the sheriff is being a bully. You know, Walt, you said on Tuesday that the sheriff was kicking and screaming and like a little kid. I think you're very wrong, sir. You need to go, like the major said, get in the deputy's police car. Go take a cruise and see what's out in the county. See, 3,800 square feet is square miles is a lot of miles to cover. We don't have enough deputies. And I believe that if you just dig a little bit in Julia Brown for that finance department, you'll find a lot of stuff that's going to really just put an awe in you, to send chills through your spine.
Shock and awe.
Absolutely. I think they're the bully ones. I think they're the ones that are bullied. They're the ones that are saying that the sheriff's department have had this problem prior, sheriff. But you know what? This new sheriff that came in knew that there was serious problems, but you don't know until you actually roll up your sleeve, you go in there, and you actually see the problem. And you know what, Kelly, I'm sorry, but you have all these services. It takes money. Money makes everything run. So if they're tying both his hands, how is he supposed to serve the public? How in the world? And Walt, you need to go get on that deputy car and go 3,800 square miles and see what our deputies do before saying it's kicking and screaming. I really think it's the commission that's kicking and screaming because the sheriff won't play ball with him.
Okay.
I think it's political on their side.
Thanks for the call, Mia.
Fair enough. Right. You know, I they have invited me to go along, and you know, I
We got another call.
We'll find a time to do that.
Man, Walt may get his hands dirty on this on this story. We got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Bill.
Yeah, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, you know, just my opinion, but the newspaper guy, you know,
Walt.
I'd have somebody at the county building all the time, and or halftime there and halftime at the sheriff's department, but, like, actually get out and get in the sun for a while. I don't think that – I think that they should be the public's voice, and I don't think that they're doing a very good job at that. And the reason I don't think that is because I don't think that they're covering stuff the way that they should. I don't think there's enough people out on the streets, you know, and stuff. If you look at just the basic content from papers that were done, like, 8-10 years ago, just like they're kind of covering a lot more of the city.
Builders,
just all Bill, stuff, except that you get off the water.
All right,
stuff,
so folks, pull Bill's mic down for a second. Listen when you call in. There's also, Bill, there's a funding crisis at the paper, too.
Not our paper, the industry. There's no newspaper in the country that has the same size staff they did 8 or 10 years ago. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funding, you know, is that new building with the shade to park the cars under and all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't own that building.
You know, like, you know, the newspaper people are, you know, supposed to be on the streets. You know, they're not supposed to be, you know, hitting in the
beat reporter.
The new building.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call. And, folks, we're running out of time, so we'll take one more call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil.
Neil, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kiki, I am 100% on you guys' side. I think the primary purpose of the county is to provide for our safety, especially in light of all these revelations you guys have been talking about. But I do have one question for you.
Yes, sir.
I agree totally. You guys know what's safe and what's not more than Walt and I do, or Kelly. But the one thing that does concern me on that list of services is the child welfare checks. Is that, I guess that's not a big deal, not a safety issue normally?
No, and this is Brent. Absolutely, it's a big deal. Like we talked about earlier, we're trying to prioritize. And as I don't know if you've read the entire directive, but it says that if there is a public safety issue, or which means a safety issue to a child, a deputy, or someone else at the building or at the house that we respond to where this welfare check wants to happen, then we will go. It's that simple. Nowhere where we're going to – I mean, where there's an imminent threat to someone else, we have information that's been given to us that we are not going to respond. That just won't happen. The issue is when CYFD calls up and they respond to a house and say, hey, we're just going to go out and do a welfare check because it's, you know, a routine welfare check or something along those lines, that I can just – arbitrarily just send a deputy to go and hang out. I can't do that. We don't have that type of people. If we're told that there's they can articulate that there's a threat there to the child and that we need to intervene, we have to respond by law. There's nothing that we can, a criminal event, we have to go.
Thanks for the call, Neil. All right, folks, we'll take one more break. And can you stay for just a few more minutes? Okay, Keek is here, and Walt's going to have some more points. So please, we're going to be right back, folks.
I swear it was in self-defense.
And we're back, and we've got lucky to have Kiki V-Hill and his some of his staff here, and also lucky to have Walt Rubel here. Guys, we're running out of time. What are the big issues left to talk about?
Well, just one thing I wanted to bring up quickly, and this was actually the lead of our story that we did on this, was Chief Montoya of LCPD complaining that they hadn't received a heads up on this. And so I guess the question is, if you guys aren't going to be providing these services, who will pick them up, if anybody? And what is the response to Chief Montoya?
Well, I'll just make it real quick. The reality of it is these cuts do not affect the city of Las Cruces one iota. All of the issues we talk about, handling calls on the interstate, that the standing practices of the Mexico State Police, for as long as I've worked here, for 20 years, that they respond to all the calls on the state highways, the interstates, and anything that happens in the city on the interstates, and the city police will handle those. Magistrate Court is a state building. Ultimately, we don't ask city police officers to come out in the county and serve municipal warrants. So if it's something at the magistrate court where they're going to serve warrants, state police or Las Cruces Police Department in their jurisdiction can pick that up. the warrants at the jail. We've trained their staff on how to properly serve warrants. So ultimately, we just didn't all of a sudden make all these cuts and go, you guys just have to do whatever you have to do. We're basically saying, you guys handle the stuff that you traditionally handled, and we'll handle the stuff that we traditionally handle. It's not a matter of this is some big surprise to anybody. So for Montoya to come out and say, well, they didn't consult with me, like I said, we said on the break, Mexico State Police cut services from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. about a year and a half, 2 years ago for some period of time. You don't pick that up? No, 10 a.m. to 4 a.m. Our office picked that up, and no one told us a thing about it. And I didn't hear Chief Montoya saying a word about that to anybody when it came out public.
There has never been a lack of communication from the time I got elected. We have these chiefs meetings every month. Like today, this morning, we have one in Anthony down there. The silent chief will be out there. The Anthony police chief will be out there. You know, the chief from Hatch will be there. So we've had this communication. You know, for him to come out and say that I have yet to meet with them, that is...
Yeah, and let's be clear, obviously. Our agency, when we can, based off our shorting staff, has helped everybody. I mean, we had all these bomb scares within the city just recently. Who was handling that? Our bomb squad was in the city almost full-time. We had to pull guys off full-time duty to help the city of Las Cruces. It wasn't our jurisdiction at all. We helped them out.
Are they deficient in their understanding of these type of situations?
What types of situations?
Well, bombs.
Well, I mean, we have the only bomb squad in the southern part of New Mexico. Right. But, I mean, this was
one of the best bombs.
Yeah,
they do. Absolutely true.
Well, that's
nationally recognized.
Shouldn't the city in these days, shouldn't the city have their own experts in this?
Well, the reality is the FBI, who ultimately funds all the nation's bomb squads, the DOJ, they've said they're only going to have a limited number of bomb squads. So it makes sense. But my point is that we help people. I'm in the process now. I'm getting letters from all the agencies, federal and state. Many, I have letters in my hand already. From federal and state agencies, local agencies here said, we do just that. I mean, we work with others.
Let me ask one thing, Kiki. Let's just say that Billy Garrett is listening to the show right now, and Wayne Hancock, these are the movers and the shakers, but especially Billy. What would you tell him about your situation and the level of safety and what you need in this county?
Please work with this. Please support public safety. It is the number one priority out there in the county. It's about keeping our people safe, especially since we're one of the border counties. You know, it's about keeping the public safe, our children safe.
And we do that by, and it comes down to the bottom line, is we have to be able to retain qualified personnel. I can hire new deputies. Eventually we'll get them in there. But when we lose 10 and 12 year senior guys to other agencies for more money,
how much more are they making? Why would they walk away from a good department?
Well, you tell me, why would a guy that's got a Monday through Friday, 8-to-5 job as an investigator go to work as a graveyard officer with the Las Cruces Police Department? It comes down to cash.
And how much more are they making?
The longer you stay over there, I'd have to bring in the pay plans.
Well,
give
us a ballpark. A
couple dollars an hour, starting all the way up to 40% more in some cases.
40% more.
That's correct.
That's stunning. That's absolutely stunning.
And we have this gross receipts tax that got imposed by the county commissioners. And
so there's more money coming in.
Yes, and 1/8 was earmarked for the Sheriff's Department for salary increases, and we have yet to see a penny.
What do you need from Billy Garrett? What do you need?
I need them to be truthful about this 1/8 that they earmarked for the Sheriff's Department. We need that money for salary increases, and that will stop losing our deputies.
And will we get these services back if we get some more funding?
I mean, the reality is if we get more people, of course. Nobody wanted to make these cuts. If we get more people, our services will get restored and hopefully grow as we get more people.
Folks, we're going to go to break. Can you stay till the end of the show? Okay. So we got Walt here. We got Kiki. We've got Major Barlow. We got Eddie Lerma, who's not really said much so far. And we'll come back and we'll see if Walt has any more questions. Little dedication to Kiki. Eric Clapton, I shout to Sheriff. 750, folks. AM Las Cruces, 523-1480-561-80. All right, we're back for the final stretch here. We got Kiki V. Hill, Sheriff, and Major Barlow, Eddie Lerma. And we've also got from the paper, Walt Rubel, to keep everybody honest here. All right, so where are we at? Billy Garrett, you've got to come on the show. You've got to explain to people this is a democracy. It's representative government. Billy, come on the show and explain what's going on. People are absolutely confused, and they're and people are afraid now out in the county. Right? I mean, you've heard back that, you know, the services are getting cut back. People are nervous. I mean, you know.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the answer to that is, have services been cut? Yes. Are we really, we're focusing more, even more so, on the public safety and our officer safety. So, you know, you look at a lot of the stuff on this list, warrant services at the jail, that's being handled by the jail, you know, crashes on the interstate, that's being handled. We're just asking people, other agencies, to do the job that we've had the agreement to do the job with for the longest time.
All right. So,
civil disputes. Okay.
So,
I mean, that's
so
not the end of the world.
It's no less safe, according to your perspective.
I think there's potential for it to be less safe. Absolutely. But we're doing what we can to try with what we have.
Our deputies are working double shifts, and it gets to the point where they get exhausted.
They do get exhausted. I'm going to want to ask you about the jail in just a moment, even if you don't have a comment. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
You have some really good topics, and you're always running out of time. When in the world are you going to get at least a little bit more time to carry on this topic?
I'll talk to the powers that be. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right. What's going on in the jail? Can you say anything? There's been, and we do have another call here, but go ahead.
For months, an employee that works at the county jail walked into the sheriff's department and brought it to our attention of some of the wrongdoing that's happening down there at the jail. So it was referred to a criminal that took off to it, and they referred it to the white collar crime unit. And now they're investigating this. It's still under investigation.
All right. So people want to know, is it possible that you're going to, and we do have phone calls, but I want to get this. I know people are interested. Is it possible that the sheriff would take over, the sheriff's department would take over the jail? Is that in the realm of possibility?
If I have to, yes. If there's some wrongdoing, if folks do get arrested there, I have to take over the operations.
Do you want to take the jail over? I mean, don't you have enough to do right now?
Yes, I do. But I believe I'm a good administrator. I did work for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I know how to. So it doesn't scare me. You know, you give me work and I'll get it done.
Well, this is a little bit off topic, but Brett, I covered a legislative meeting where you were one of the panelists recently discussing the amount of money spent because we don't have proper mental health treatment. If we were to have the crisis triage center opened where you could take people and drop them off instead of having off, do you have any estimate at all in terms of what that would save you guys in terms of man hours?
I haven't calculated it out, quite honestly, Walt, but I mean, to your point, it would obviously save, get my deputies back on the street quicker and save the taxpayer more money. The reality of it is my deputies go to local hospitals, as I'm sure you know, and they will spend hours. There's been some cases where we spent 16 hours in the emergency room trying to get someone in front of a mental health physician. So the crisis triage center, Ron Gurley's work, as far as I'm concerned, is God's work, and we support that 100%.
Great.
They have yet to open the center.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. They built the building, three or four years ago?
Yeah, but we got no bodies.
And it comes back in the commission.
We got a couple more calls. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show, briefly.
Yeah, this is John. I just wanted to ask, you know, they talk about the sheriff's deputy being too tired and can't get on their shifts. They should not employ that for the hanging football games. Yeah, they can either be working right there or they can be sleeping. So they can be ready for the
Let me address this. Now, deputies do have days off. They do have days off. And to supplement their income because they're underpaid, they go out there to work security, you know, out there in the games or these special events to supplement their income. They could be
you can't blame them for that.
With their families watching the game just like you are.
So that's not on your budget.
That's not, okay. No. In fact, MSU.
We got one more call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show.
This place is turning into Sunland Park.
Thank you. All right, folks. Thanks for coming on, Kiki.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Eddie and Major Barlow. And thanks, Walt. I know it's a huge sacrifice.
No, not at all.
We appreciate you coming on. It's,
it was a great discussion. I've learned a lot. I have.
And we need to have these more
often. Let's do it again.
Yes.
Thanks for listening in, folks. We're going to have a dedication for the sheriff, a little bit of Eric Clapton, but I appreciate you listening in. We got one more tomorrow. I think we got a I'm calling for a mayor's forum on the show and try to get Ken Miyagashima here. But tomorrow is the day I've invited any mayoral candidates to come on. And anyway, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And have a great day. Ciao.
Sheriff John's not always taking me for what I don't know. And every time that I plant a seed, he said, kill me before the Lord. He said, kill me before the Lord. But I swear he wasn't touching me. I shot the sheriff, but I swear.